We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
LSU's swanky new football operations along with a new locker room. $23 million of private money. Mind you, just want to remind folks, private money to help make it happen. Jack Marucci joining us now, LSU athletic trainer.
Yeah, it's all of Jack's money that went to the new facility.
Jack, how you doing? Thanks for the time.
Yeah. Well, I think he's right. I did put in about $10, so I'm proud of that donation. So it went a long way.
Jack, how long, from start to finish, how long did this process take? And also, what are one of the things that you look at and go, man, that's just super neat? I know you guys are very proud of the whole facility.
Yeah, we are. I think that, you know, once we, if you look at the big process started probably end of 2016. So that was where the actual, all right, this is for real, let's start planning on this thing. So all that design phase went, you know, for several years. And then the actual move, and we were one of the last ones to leave the building. This was last season. And we got out at we actually stayed through camp because there was a delay on refurbishing in an area that we were going to use for a temporary training season. It took a year. So we were out.
Now, Jack, you look at it, so to speak, because college football, or just college sports, college football, that's what we're focusing on. I mean, it's unbelievable, the competition. Look at Clemson winning a national championship, mm-hmm. what they've done with mm-hmm. their facilities. That it's, so to speak, that you're not just recruiting statewide, that speaks for itself, but you're recruiting nationwide. And it's kind of keeping up with the Joneses, because I tell people this, and I think you'd agree with this, that young kids, when they're being recruited right. and they have that skill set, a lot of everything you could tell them about your academic program, you go this and that, but what they visualize, what they actually see and could see themselves in that situation, that mm-hmm. counts for mm-hmm. a lot.
Right. I think it's, you're right in a lot of those aspects, but I think why it's a little more unique at LSU is that I know with coaches' narrative, and we all believe in this, we do talk about, you know, we did great last year in recruiting, and we really didn't have all the fancy facilities. And I would ask a young man, why was this different here? What made it different? And they would say the people. And I think that was something that, because we are very genuine when we talk about the lifelong commitment, and our speech to them, believe it or not, is talking about not, you know, playing for us. I said, there's guarantees in life, and fortunately we don't live forever, and you're going to pay some taxes, and you're not playing football. So we talk about what can we do here while you're here at this university, and the lifelong commitment to make you and prepare you after football. So that's our job, and we enjoy that. So it's all about relationships. So as Bobby, as you know, there was nothing like the locker room, and there was nothing like being a right. part of that and being with the guys. And I think, you know, the recruiting piece is very strong. But I think we've been very good about not trying to just use the brick and mortar. Now, do we have something that's, you know, we're better than the Joneses now. All of a sudden, we are the Joneses.
Right.
We may be the Jones seniors. But it did already have an impact. I was talking to a couple of our recruiting guys. We had a couple guys maybe from the West Coast that really wanted to come, you know, but they were kind of teetering. All of a sudden, they got phone calls from these guys says, I want to come. So now we know that if we can get them on campus and see who we are as people, and that is a huge plus. So it really, yes, I think it's all twofold. So I think, you know, we've already turned the page on some guys that, hey, they're calling us now because they saw what they
right.
did. People don't realize North Carolina had a grand opening too. And it was like you didn't even hear about it.
So right.
this thing just went crazy. And the amount of attention that we've all gotten, and it's all been, you know, it's not all positive, but most of it's positive. And, you know, it's something that everybody be proud of. People don't realize we had almost, I think, 15 former players. A lot of them didn't even want to be mentioned that have donated back. And I asked Scott Woodward, our new AD, I said, how many people were like this at Texas A&M? He goes, it was nothing like this. So, again, it's about the people that they remember who they were with. And you know, that makes a huge deal. That makes a huge deal. So,
And you know, Jack, talking about those relationships, and I look at yourself. I mean, if you into sports, I mean, you are a household name. Jack Marucci.
No, I don't know about that.
No, listen, it's sport. Marucci bats. Oh, and look at all that. So do you look at, like, why in the hell would I retire? I love the situation that I'm in, the relationships that I have LSU's organization.
And Brett Favre was here a couple years ago, and we got him to speak, and we were talking, and the thing that really even stuck with me more, he goes, you know what? You know why I couldn't let go? He goes, yeah, it was fun, the competition, but, you know, all those hours and were tough. Throwing the phone for the touchdowns was great. He goes, but, man, I miss sitting in that training room and talking to the guys. Man, I miss joking around with the equipment guys. I miss being in that locker room and being like, he goes, that's what I missed. I still miss it today. And I thought that was pretty well said. So, and it is about – that's what you take away from you. I've been fortunate to be part of three national championships. I do, but we have relationships with all those guys. But all those rings are fine. But, again, it's about the relationships. And you don't – it always comes full circle. And so that's what I think what we're more proud of than anything. And, I mean, you saw a guy that got dismissed from the football team. And he's probably been one of our biggest donors. Why was that? Because of the relationships. He knew we tried to do everything in our power to help him. But – having some tough love, actually, he'll tell you, it turned his life around. And so he's appreciative of that.
Now, Jack, this is not your first rodeo, obviously, all the years and all the players that you've crossed paths with. What can you tell the LSU fan base? And I know you're going to be honest because I think you're so upstanding about Coach O and all maybe the past coach you've been associated with.
Yeah.
And people think, like, oh, Coach O, you and him played high school together.
Yeah.
Your college roommate. They think I'm just blowing smoke. But just to tell people about the real Coach O.
I'm glad you're asking me this because let me tell you something. We just did an article. New York Times came down. They heard about all of our research, and they wanted to do a story about why we've been the leader in looking at all these different dynamics, looking at putting players in the best position. So we do all this testing. I said, there's one reason. I said, Coach O has been the best innovative coach. He allows us to grow. He has been the most progressive. He knows how to manage the coaches. He's looking for the best coaches possible because he's one of the few people that has said, yes, I've made mistakes. And he has learned from them, and he has changed. A lot of people can say that. Oh, I've changed. They don't change. They're the same old same guy. This guy isn't. This guy has been the best. I've been with a lot of good coaches, a lot of them, all the way back to Coach Bowden, and this guy's been the best. That is not being a homer. Think about what we did last year. We're finally getting his guys in. He looks at character. He looks at all these things that we try to bring to the table, and if it has backing, he will do it. So I just can't say enough good things, and you know, it bothers me too because you look at somebody's image or maybe someone's past or – it is so wrong until people sit in the room with them and they realize this guy knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And and I feel like, you know, this team here has something. This is a different team. This is something that we're finally getting to that point. Hey, we got an established quarterback coming back. When was the last time we had that? I mean, I'm talking about a good established quarterback. You know, Matt Flynn he played 1 year.
Right.
Danny Etling came in late, you know, early in the season, but still, I don't know how many, maybe Mettenberger, then you have to go way back in time. So all these things that he's done, I mean, he identified Joe Burrow because he had 2 years. If Joe Burrow was 1 year, he says, this is that's forward thinking. Let's bring this guy in because he's got 2 years and, you know, we can build from that. So I just think the things that he does, And he's one of the few coaches we have to say to change practice. He knows it in his gut before we even say it. So, and if we do bring something to him and it has evidence, he will do it. And what does that do with the organization and motivate you? It's not someone saying that's blowing you off on everything when you have the leader saying, I mean, it really doesn't allow you to get creative. It doesn't allow you to be motivated. It kind of shuts you down because every time you come up with an idea, but he makes everyone feel a part of it. So I can't say enough. One other thing we did a pass rush study. We were looking at pass rushers in stance. Are they better in whatever? Are they better in the 4-point, 3-point, 2-point? Right. Are they better on the right side? Are they better when they, you know, if they have to do a stunt? We were looking at times. We were looking at get off, reaction time. So I took our staff in there. He was so fired up. And I took our staff because everybody did the work. Everybody contributed. They came out of that meeting. They go, man, they were all chest were bumping. I said, that's what he does. He will make you feel like if you're doing the right thing and you have viable data, he will make you feel like it's the best thing. And that's how you motivate. That's what a leader does.
And you know, Jack, he'll make you feel like you're important and you're contributing
right.
to the success
right.
of the program.
Exactly. When everybody's in like that, that's a dangerous thing, man. It's dangerous for those opponents because you got everybody pulling the same way. And I just can't say enough about that. I mean, I wish more people would see that. And hey, I have no reason to say all this. I mean, right. it's but that's the truth. And I have been. Hey, I told him this. Listen to this. I told him. I said,
"Hey, Jack,
when they signed
Jack,
him to come in,
Jack, hold on one second. Stay with us. We got to
stay with us.
We have a CBS update.
Like
we got to get
a
to
wealth of information
that'll last about 60 seconds. I want to hear the rest of that story."
Gotcha.
But
yeah,
I also, I want to ask you a question off topic, about the training in general.
Sir. You got right. it. You got it.
CBS News headlines back with Jack Marucci after this here on WWL. Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk, hanging out with Jack Marucci, LSU athletic trainer. And Jack, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize.
A living legend.
Go right ahead with the story you're about to tell.
Well, and I was as guilty as everybody. I was talking about the image of Coach O, and I told him this story. When we brought him in as a defensive line coach, I'm thinking, now why are we bringing this guy in? He's going to be kind of barbaric. You know, I know him ripping his shirt off. I'm thinking he's going to be, you know, behind the times. He's going to be, you know, maybe not above board. I'm thinking, what are we doing? So my relationship, when I do injury reports, I will go to each coach, and I go down, and that's when I first sat with him and realized who he was after the first couple meetings, and I kept it in the back of my head. I remember asking him, I said, would you ever want to be a head coach again? I had no idea what he was thinking, and I said, you know, you never know how things go. Wouldn't it be kind of neat, you know, if you know, there's an opening, who knows where, maybe here someday, would you be interested? And of course, he said yes, and every day I would sit with him, and I said, this guy got it. I said, this is what you want. So that's where that relationship, and that's when I realized he was completely different. I was like everybody else until you realize this guy's got substance. He cares. He's one of the best people I've been around. And then the neat thing, he's one of us. And when you have that, and again, it's so important that feel that, and you never want to disappoint them. And that's a different type of loyalty, and that's why I think it's pretty powerful. So,
Jack Marucci, LSU athletic trainer. Jack, if I can ask you a question off topic about this, because I'm curious to know, Bobby and I have talked about this, and I think me and Deuce have as well, about baseball and arm injuries and the amount thereof that are going on in college baseball right now. Have you guys talked about that in a way to maybe cut that off?
Yeah, so here's what's going on. There's that. I just showed somebody this about an hour ago. I said, I was meeting with the Rangers this summer. I was over there doing some meeting with some players, but I also meet with kind of their analytics, their medical staff. And they showed me a slide on their presentation. They said, look at this. Look at all the 200 game winners in Major League Baseball over the history of time. And they had a line cut basically in half of the United States. They basically said, this is your warm climate players, and here's your cold climate players. I bet you almost 70% were from the cold climate players, and it's easy to figure out why.
Hello.
Because you got to figure out I say it this way. You get a new set of tires, you have 50,000 miles on them. Now, if you want to run them early, go ahead, run your tire. That means your arms, these young kids who play all these travel ball and they consistently play the same sport over right. and over and over again. Because even throwing a football versus a baseball is completely different.
Amen.
So you're all you're doing is wearing that tread. And by the time we get them at LSU, their tread is about bald. They need a new set of tires. And what's that mean? That's a surgery. Well, so that's what's happening. And it's tough.
Yeah. And you know, Jack, to me, it's like, I don't know, I'm kind of old school about this, that if you have the ability and you have the talent, just play whatever the season of the sport.
Yeah.
To be focused just on one sport, you might say, that could benefit some individuals. But to me, I don't know, if it's football, you play football, basketball, you play basketball, baseball, then you maybe could go run the hurdles and track,
right.
or you do whatever you have to do. But to be totally focused on one sport year-round, I don't know, unless you're a golfer or you play tennis, and then maybe you could say do something else.
Right.
That to me, it's almost overkill when you got parents trying to live through their kids instead of letting just enjoy life and play the sport at hand.
You have just hit the nail on the head. You just said it very well because I love eating pizza every day. I always want to use examples because it gets across. I could eat pizza for every day, but if I don't eat it for a week or two, it tastes better. So
right.
Even with my son coming up through baseball, who ended up playing college baseball, I wouldn't, after there's a certain point of time, we cut it off because he all kids will lose excitement. All parents always say, oh, he wants to play. Okay, you're the parent. You're the one who wants to see him play. So what happens is those kids do lose excitement. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing.
Right.
When you have a layoff of a sport or a layoff of something you really enjoy, you can't wait to get back. So watching him over through the years when he had that big break, he couldn't wait. He was the most energetic kid out there because he wasn't playing all year round. You know, so it never ran into that situation where it's mental burnout too. So it's not only physical, it's mental burnout. So it isn't good to play something all year round and keep the repetitiveness over and over. Yeah, I agree.
Jack, I coached a travel team years ago, and we did just that. July 4th, we were done. We didn't pick up a baseball
and
until
– that's the magic number, around July 4th. If you can pull it then, that's very good. That is actually the date.
Yeah, I mean, our season would basically – we would get together late December for just throwing, just to get the arms back in conditioning. And then and then play a little bit in February, start playing games in February and shut it down by July. And we would tell the kids, do not pick up another baseball until we call you.
Perfect. I mean, that really is a good formula. But it's hard for these parents. It's the parents. I mean, it's not these kids. It's the parents. So – they don't know when to let go, and they want to call. I said it's conditional love. When the kid has a great week of baseball, he's home runs. The parent goes to work all happy. If the kid struggles mid a few errors, the parent's all grumpy at everybody at work, and they're upset. And, I mean, it is the most unbelievable thing you see.
And you know, Jack, now this is off topic. I want you to comment on how all of a sudden you into woodworking and you could develop a bat.
Right.
Everyone knows the Mariucci bat. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Because a lot of fans don't know that. I want you to explain that process.
Well,
I mean, to me, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was I grew up in an area of blue – I grew up around Pittsburgh. We grew up in a coal mining town. And I always tell people probably the best class I ever took was the eighth grade wood shop. And you never knew how it was going to pay off. So forward. And 2002, 2003, my son was 7, 8 years old. He goes, Dad, I want to swing a wood bat. I said, okay, because we'd watch baseball. And I called all the bat companies. And, for an inch being too long, most of them were just too long for me, and they would have been too heavy. So what I did was, I even conferred with Matt Mock, who was our quarterback at the time. He played for the Cubs. I said, Matt, I'm thinking of making bats for Geno. I want to bring a couple. I'll bring one in after I cut it and see what you think. Tell me where. So I made that first bat. I bought a cheap lathe. I thought, man, I'll make a couple bats. So I start I picked it up pretty quick. The first bat didn't look very good, though. I'll be honest with you. It wasn't pretty. It was rough. I brought in the mat. He was real nice. He says, "Well, let's take off more here." I still have that bat, by the way. So awesome. Then the next one I made was better than the next one. And my son used a wood bat until he was probably 12 years old. But the player that changed everything was, again, it was about a relationship. Back at Florida State, I had a relationship with a player who does Major League Baseball now. He's probably their number one broadcaster, Eduardo Perez. So Eduardo was the son of Tony Perez. He played for the Reds, but I enjoyed being around him. He's one of the best guys I've ever been around. And I was going up to St. Louis for a trainer's convention. We were just catching up. He says, "I tell you what, bring one up." So he meets me in front of the hotel and goes, "Hey, I'm using this tonight." I said, "Eddie, we're not licensed. We're all going to get in trouble." He goes, "I don't care." I said, "By the way, I've only seen 7- and 8-year-olds swing these things. This thing may explode. I've never even seen an adult swing it, and you're going to swing it in a major league game?" I said, "I made this thing in my shed yesterday." He goes, "I'm using it." He goes, "I want you to come down for batting practice." And he introduced me to Barry Larkin, who ended up getting a first hit with our bat about a week ago after we talked to him, and Albert Pujols. Albert ended up giving me a bat. That was the first one we copied. And so Eduardo is the one that starts feeding it into the major leagues, and they were sneaking him in because we weren't licensed. So what happened was I partnered up with Kurt Ainsworth and Joe Lawrence. Kurt's our CEO right now. He's done a fantastic job growing the brand. Joe runs our wood mill division. And, you know, we just kept picking up momentum. We passed Louisville Slugger up about 2 to 3 years ago as the number one bat in Major League Baseball, which they had the title, I guess, for over 100 yes. years. And so, you know, Woodshop paid off. And I always tell people, if Louisville made that bat 1 inch shorter, we probably wouldn't be making bats. So it is a game of inches, as they say. So it's you just never know.
That is an awesome story because everyone heard of Louisville Slugger. But paying attention to detail, Jack Mariucci, made a difference.
Inch made a difference. You just never know.
Jack, let me tell you, when I was coaching travel baseball, just about every one of my kids wanted the Mariucci bat. Like they pretty much all had it.
Oh, that's neat. It's really humbling. I mean, it's something else. I just left. We have a World Series going on around Alex Box Stadium, and that whole stadium was full of people. So it's just pretty humbling. So
the Mariucci Cat 5, that was the bat of choice.
That was the first. Yeah, that was the first one because a Category 5 hurricane.
Yeah.
I think we're in Cat 8 now, so it's a pretty bad hurricane. Well,
Jack, I know you got to get going. Real quick, though, about the arm stuff. So is the conversation that needs to be had, is it more of a national one at the high school and youth level?
That's a national one. That's youth. It has to start in the youth. And if you look at Jimmy Andrews, who's an LSU graduate, he talks about this. He talks about it in depth. He talks about the overuse. He talks about how youth baseball has just become such a negative. And how it's just become something, you know, it's been taken over again by parents and driven to get their kids to try to get a scholarship or playing in that's what it becomes. And when you have all that, it becomes such a bad combination. It becomes lethal. And that's what we're seeing now. And, we have numbers that show the number of injuries and elbow injuries that started years ago, and they track them, and it keeps escalating every year, and there hasn't really been a stop to it. So I think it starts on the youth level and the parents, because if you don't have that, we're just going to continue to be in this spiral down.
I used a chart of his based on age and how many pitches they should throw. And how many days rest? We didn't have any arm issues whatsoever because I used the chart that he devised.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's there for you to look at. And the other thing that we learned, curveballs and fastballs is basically the same thing because you're stressing the elbow. If you look at biomechanically, the tension put on that ulnar collateral ligament, it's the same. I think kids should – we found kids that throw footballs on the off season helps their throwing in baseball because it's a different – so – Will Harris, who pitched at didn't pitch much at LSU. Actually, he was a hitter. He started that routine, and it really changed a lot what he's done. And because it works different muscles, so there's things that you can do not to be repetitive. And a lot of this stuff's common sense.
and people don't want to do it. And
so. Nolan Ryan used to do that.
Well, and you know, Jack, because I've done both, pitching right. or when you've thrown a football, it's actually when you're trying to throw a spiral, it's opposite of a curveball.
Uh-huh.
So when you throw, when you follow right. through, it's yeah. like almost like, is that old school? I don't know. You call it a screwball?
Screwball. No, that's what it is. It is a screwball. Okay. You're actually taking the load off your elbow.
Okay, yeah, you're going a screwball opposite, and then a curveball. It's right. completely different. Yeah. If you try and throw a football like you throw a curve, you'd be the right. master of the duck pass.
There you go.
Quack, quack, quack. It'd be like,
right.
It's completely opposite.
I never even thought it that way. You're right, because you're rotating your fingers outward.
Yes, with a football.
Inward, where a curveball is going down or inward. Yep. So you're right. You're right if you think about it. So,
Jack, I know you got to run.
Yeah, thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me, and I appreciate it.
All right, now, we love your wisdom.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
Jack
Marucci. Thank you.
LSU athletic trainer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.